And that's where the sensors come into play. Everything from flooding to increased moisture, increased wind speeds. Without the support of AI and the algorithms behind the scene taking into account all the variables and past historical data, there's something that's called predictive modeling. So it helps the city understand that, okay, I know a storm is coming, but where should my resources be put first, right? Prioritized.
Mm-hmm.
Because with AI and the IoT sensors working in conjunction with one another, you get this type of data so that you can make better decisions,
mm-hmm.
right? You know you're going to have a flood, but which gate, at which dam, at which river edge and that you should be taking the most precaution. That's where the technology comes in support of cities. And that's what makes a city smart.
Welcome to FNAT Silica's We Talk IoT. We'll chat with innovators, experts, and business owners to learn how they are implementing IoT and using data to create new business opportunities. I am your host, Stephanie Ruth Hader.
We live in a world where every device communicates, every data point tells a story, and 2023 will definitely be remembered as the year of artificial intelligence. Joining me today is David Lee, CEO of iVida. They provide global solutions for global-based video AI search and surveillance technologies. And together, we'll explore how integrating IoT and AI can revolutionize everything from smart cities to telehealth and advanced security systems. Welcome to the show, David. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Ruth, for having me.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's a lovely morning here in Arizona.
Would you like to introduce yourself and iVida to our listeners before we get into our topics?
Certainly. I'm David Lee, and I am the founder and CEO of iVida. iVida was founded roughly 20 years ago, Ruth, and we started 20 years ago on the notion of cloud video surveillance. That's taken the earliest versions of IP video and, of course, whatever availability of bandwidth back in the day. We were one of the first companies that serviced customers, meaning we hosted customers' camera video at data centers, allowing them to eliminate the box technology. So one of the first companies to actually take video into the cloud.
When you say bandwidth 20 years ago, that must have been a modem, no?
Yeah, you can still go around offices back then and actually hear the, you know, the tone, the dee, dee, dee. But we did better. We had DSL, we had ISDN, and then that T1, T3 concept, if you can recall, very expensive. But we did have an early start of taking data and managing data on our customers' behalf, and that was video data.
That's incredible. I suppose now with the emergence of IoT and now the big hype around artificial intelligence, video surveillance must have evolved even more.
Absolutely. Back then we thought that, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words, they say, right? The old saying. And when you had video, you thought you had everything you needed, right? It's right in front of your eyes. But through the years, we've learned that having more sensory beyond sight, being able to see something, if you can sense the temperature, if you can measure vibration, if you can send alerts based on several more factors of the environment, that means that the data sets that you have will provide more accurate readings and decision making for who's monitoring or any decision maker. So yes, that's how we evolved. We kept our legacy video experience and big data experience, but with big data comes, you know, a lot of different devices. And this is where we evolved into an IoT centric company as well, complementing our video. We had a multitude of physical sensors in the field that were all integrated to having this central data collection for environmental status in real time, Ruth. So that's the evolution.
Mm-hmm. And when you say environmental status, I'm already thinking use cases. Is that then, for example, for a smart city scenario, or what use cases are we talking about that would benefit from the sensors and all the data the cameras are now collecting as well?
Yes, indeed. Fast forward to where we are now. We claim ourselves to be the smart city technologies company as well, a combination of all the legacy assets and technology from video to IoT sensors to now the we're all embracing artificial intelligence to help us correlate the data better, to help us process quicker, and to make some decisions on our behalf as well. So yes, sensors that are mounted to physical buildings, light poles that have been transformed in what we call today smart poles, right? A pole that just doesn't turn on and off lights automatically, but also knows the humidity, the pollen count, pollution count, smog, temperature, vibration, wind speed, you name it. That's the kind of data that represents what we call environmental data. So yes, car accident, preventions, snow plows, there's a lot of things, flooding, depending on the city, the country, different needs of physical precaution will take place.
And when you say smart poles, just to give our listeners a better picture, so these are just like lanterns or lamp posts or street lamps along a highway, for example, and then you have cameras on them for security purposes, I suppose, accident detection, or if a highway is flooded or if some other incident has happened. And then the other sensors pick up the other environmental data. Is that a realistic scenario?
Actually, Ruth, that's very accurate. We do leverage. That's the one advantage and benefit of iVeda is we leverage existing city infrastructure. It doesn't have to be in a freeway, but think of the city streets that we live on and streets, the downtown that we walk to the office. These lanterns or street light poles already have something, a resource that's required to power all the intelligence, and that's electricity, right? Mm-hmm. And electricity is already brought to these existing poles. And that's what I call existing city infrastructure. What iVeda does is we come in and we add to these poles. Given the existing power capacity, we add everything from smart power meters, right? Monitoring the power that's coming to the pole, measuring its surge integrity, all that good stuff. Why? Because after the smart power metering, then that energy is then powering a server, a small computer. And yes, it is this small computer that then processes all the environmental sensors, the IoT devices, and of course, video cameras and surveillance. What's cool is whether you have cameras existing or we or our partners add cameras, it's no longer just, remember, what the camera can see. Given the addition of AI, the cameras are doing a lot more now. They're actively, they're actively sending alerts of, anomalies that you wish not to take place. But if it does, you want to be notified. And that's what makes the pole smart, right? Having cameras alone, having the devices alone that just log in and tell you what temperature it is, it's not really smart. It's the consolidation of all the data sets that then can be defined in some type of actionable item or decision making on a tail end. That's what makes a pole smart. And there's a very cool, scalable means of doing so now that one wouldn't imagine. It's not ripping out a pole and bringing something that looks futuristic and plugging it in into the ground. Mm. It's very flexible now. Technology is making things a lot easier.
Okay. What other innovative applications of IoT and AI excite you the most at the moment, especially in terms of smart cities?
Yeah, when it comes to smart cities, we're working recently, and I'll give you a real-world example here. I came back from the Philippines about 3 months ago. And we spent time there to actually work on a deployment for a citywide. Of course, it's going to be scalable over time. But there's in the Philippines, they suffer from annual typhoons. And these typhoons are devastating. You know, they bring in floods. They destroy cellular towers, electrical infrastructure, a lot of housing. So what's happening now is people are always talking about early detection. What does early detection mean? Yes, I mean, it spells right out, right? You want to know something ahead of time before the catastrophe hits. Mm. But there's more than that. Yes, weather systems alone can say that, okay, you got this big storm coming. Okay. IoT comes into play where sensors are placed throughout the city and throughout floodgates, rivers, lakes, et cetera, where the infrastructure or the existing landscape has the highest potential for damage. And that's where the sensors come into play. Everything from flooding to increased moisture, increased wind speeds. We can detect all that. Mm-hmm. But Ruth, without the support of AI and the algorithms behind the scene, taking into account all the variables and past historical data, there's something that's called predictive modeling. So it helps the mayors, it helps the city understand that, okay, I know a storm is coming, but where should my resources be put first, right? Prioritized. Mm-hmm. Because with AI and the IoT sensors working in conjunction with one another, you get this type of data so that you can make better decisions, mm-hmm. right? You know you're going to have a flood, but which gate, at which dam, at which river edge, and that you should be taking the most precaution. That's where the technology comes in support of cities. And that's what makes a city smart. That's what we're doing, really grassroots efforts in infrastructure management.
That sounds really exciting, especially after the year we had with all these extreme weather events that will probably not go away and occur even more often, and especially with countries that are not in the Western industrialized world that have been taken the hardest beating so far whenever it came to climate change because of lack of resources and lack of funding and lack of technology, I guess. So this is really interesting that a technology that when we call it video surveillance, we wouldn't think of preventing climate catastrophes, right? So I think this is a really valuable use case. Really cool. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
But when you visit the Philippines and talk about existing infrastructure or countries that have not had the privilege of maybe funding or maybe modern infrastructure, I'm thinking already of challenges you might have with integrating your solutions when you have like legacy protocols or legacy hardware equipment to work with and to integrate into.
Well, certainly. I think you're touching the true difficulty out there in the field. It's one thing to have all the wonderful intentions of what you wish to accomplish, but when you walk onto a physical site, you realize that the everything from the internet infrastructure, the routers, the network switches, not what you would expect, but that's the easy items to tend to. Mm-hmm. But when one uses a particular system, everything from access control to video surveillance, it's not all well put together. You know, it's 1 year you're buying this brand because the budget allowed you to choose just that. Mm-hmm. Next year, you can't keep the same brand because budget changed. You have to go with another brand or however you were pitched. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. And yes, the challenge for a technology company like Iveda is we can't just go into an environment, Ruth, and ask somebody to replace everything, you know, rip everything out, do the overhaul, because as you put, there's a budget issue, right? There's lack of resources, or there's different prioritization of resources. So if you really want to help out, if you really want to do good, I always say technology either works or it doesn't. You know, it shouldn't be difficult. And what makes it work? You got to be flexible. You got to understand that you're walking in. The opportunity exists plentiful all around the world if your technology solution is willing to coordinate and be flexible enough to take in traditional or older protocol. And in our world, since we are IoT AI centric, Ruth, IoT is not difficult. It's just data.
Okay.
So why not find out how the old data flow, whether it's RS-232 serial plug to USB to whatever it is nowadays. Let's be, you know, our mindset has to be more flexible, that we shouldn't be so proprietary anymore. Everybody's trying to protect their turf, trying to force customers to buy, come back and buy them by sake of incompatibility. I'll share now with you another pride of iVeta is that we do pride ourselves in being open. Yes, we have proprietary technology and trade secrets to how we do things, but when you walk on a customer site, I got to be able to take in any camera they have. I got to be able to accept any RTSP and perform the magic of AI as, you know, smog detection, smoke detection, fire detection. I got to come in with value like that, leveraging existing infrastructure. So yeah, it is a hurdle, but we've learned from the past 20 years being out in the field what we must do and how we need to design our technology solutions to accommodate our customers and our potential opportunities.
With the rise of telehealth, especially post-pandemic, how is IoT coupled with AI changing the healthcare landscape?
So here in the United States we have a nurse shortage here in our health system, whether it's direct hospitals or assisted living or independent senior care. Americans, I'm sure everybody wants to live independent. They want to feel that they can still do everything on their own. They can still be on their own and handle things. Great. But there's assistance. Are you taking enough medicine at the right time? Are you taking the right medicine? Are you getting up and are you getting enough exercise? And are you tending to the restroom at proper times? Any anomalies that we expect? And, you know, when you're talking about elderly care, the biggest problem here in the States is falling. You know, when the elder are living alone, when you're living independent, when you fall, no one hears you, no one sees you. So leveraging IoT, iVeta has developed a solution, a technology we call iVeta Care.
Mm-hmm.
And iVeta Care comes to you very simple with a starter kit that provides, you know, typical motion sensors, door open and close, drawers open and close, and motion vibration sensors. Leveraging motion alone, because we are HIPAA compliant here in this country, meaning the privacy concerns is no concern. Data protection is superb. What we're really collecting is, let's say our mom is living alone in her condo or apartment. The system works like this, just leveraging sensors alone, no video now for privacy. Over a duration of time, let's say 1 week to a month, the system begins learning when you leave the bedroom. And if you leave the bedroom, ideally, trend says you visit the restroom. And then if you're in the restroom, trends will also tell you how long you normally spend. So the next step is the AI is expecting that you should be back out in the hallway. Normally, you go grab coffee between the hours of, you know, 9:45 and 10:30. This is the system that we're providing with iVeta Care. Should any anomaly occur, the system is within a family structure first. It notifies your loved ones, your caretaker. And should there is no response for whatever unfortunate reason, the system then escalates to first responders, professional first responders. And we're offering that through a very simple package. As you would 10 years ago, we hear the term smart homes, right? We would buy these devices, stick in our window and doors. You open a door and an alarm goes off. Well, think of this being about 100 times more sophisticated, but under the same physical format so that it's easy to understand, easy to set up, and just easy to maintain in general.
We will take a short break. Stay with us. We will be hearing from our guests very shortly. This podcast is brought to you by Avnet Silica, the engineers of evolution. We help you bring secure, intelligent, and connected products to market. If you want to learn more about us, we have put information and links in this episode's show notes, and you can also connect with us on LinkedIn or avnet-silica.com. That's avnet-silica.com. And how does it work? I have sensors, for example, in the floor or in the ceiling, or how does the room know I have left?
Good question. Very good question. Let's say, let's eliminate AI. Let's assume that there's no such thing as artificial intelligence.
Mm.
Then you and I now are just stepping back. I don't know if Europeans recall the company Radio Shack. Well, that's good. I used to work there when I was a kid, believe it or not. It's fun.
Cool.
So let's come, then any, without intelligence or without computer processing of some kind, you would need, back in the day, these sensors would be pointless. All they would do is trigger an alert, an alarm.
Mm.
So yes, if I had floor sensors, ideally, it would work, right? You would expect if I get out of the bed, I step on the floor, and there's an alarm. Good news, Ruth, we don't need any of that anymore. It's very, very efficient. How? Motion sensors. Motion sensors can't see you, can't smell you, can't do anything other than movement in a room.
Mm-hmm.
It's multiple placements of motion sensors throughout the dwelling that will perform the magic of knowing when you left the room, when you woke up, because if you're swarming around in bed, that's fine. But remember, AI will understand trends. If you're just moving around, but you're still in the room, that means you're just tossing and turning.
Mm.
And then actually there's a tossing and turning detection to where it says, hey, you're not getting enough sleep. You're not getting good rest. That's part of the system as well. So motion sensors alone with AI, I would have to say processing over time, and it knows and learns your, what do you call that there, your patterns and how you live without seeing a thing.
And do you see from your experience, and this goes for the smart city, smart building, or ambient assisted living scenario all the same, from your experience, have you noticed challenges regarding the adoption of living in a smart city, in a smart building, in an ambient assisted home?
I would say the challenge in adoption is true awareness and real world examples.
Mm-hmm.
I think we still lack that, Ruth. In the industry, we industry guys and gals will talk all day long about smart cities and IoT, but frankly, the real world adoption and placement of such technology is still so dispersed and scattered that the average citizen has yet to experience it. You know, they watch it on TV, they hear it, they read about it on Yahoo or whatever. But frankly, we're fortunate because we're in the industry. That's our job. We do it every day, and we're confronted with that need, or we're out in the hunt of that opportunity.
Mm.
I just wish that there would be quicker adoption. I believe that technology is affordable now, and a lot more affordable than what folks might think. And from my experience, adoption is simply the lack of awareness. Lack of adoption is simply lack of awareness and lack of real world experiences as people go shopping, as people go visit their doctors. There is a challenge, and I believe it's going to take time. In our deployments, I'll share with you the ambient assisted living solutions. Iveda Care, let's say, in our client and our facilities that we do serve, we take time. We and the caretakers and the managers of the facility take time with the residents to help them adopt. Meaning it takes some introduction. What is this? What is it going to do? And why? Once people realize the why, they don't care about the how anymore. They're not concerned about the what and the how. If they're connected with their children more, if they are connected with their doctors more, if they have peace of mind, just more peace of mind in general, that should they are unable to come in contact with a caretaker or a loved one for any case accident, that the system's there for them. And it also keeps families more in touch. You don't have to text each other, hello, I love you, how you're doing, if you're busy, because the AI is going to help both of you stay in touch with each other throughout the day. So it's very exciting.
And of course, you'll be able to live an independent life for a longer period of time without having the feeling that you need to be taken care of 24 hours a day. You can still live an independent life and retain your freedom. If that's not too dramatic, yeah. But yeah.
No, you're right. I'll add to that, Ruth, if you don't mind. You know, my customers, the end users, I talk to them. And you know what I hear too that will resonate to what you just shared? It's not just freedom. It's they don't wish to burden anybody.
Yeah.
That sense of, I'm not going to burden you, Ruth. You don't worry about me. That's the freedom for them. It's not just being able to move around, but no one wants to burden anybody. No one wants that feeling. And technology relieves you of that. It's really cool.
Would you like to discuss some more bits about smart cities?
I think now with AI as a prime topic now, smart cities have such a better chance of existing. You know, we may have spoken about smart cities in the industry 10, even 15 years ago, and we've drawn conceptual drawings of how a smart city should look, what it should involve, drones flying in the air, packages being dropped off the sky, and cars, automatic cars. Well, look at the evolution of society in general. We have real electric cars that drive on their own now. We have drones that can actually deliver packages now. But with AI, why I say the probability is much higher to actually build a smart city is here now. And I'm seeing that where do we start, right? It's one thing if you and I went out and we built a new city. But in reality, that's not going to happen. Far and few in between, you know, depending on where you are. But I don't think that's going to happen. Major cities today, from first or developing countries, along with smaller, what they need to do is first assess the existing infrastructure. What is it that they currently have that they can improve on? You know, everything from electrical systems, city power, sewage, water, all the critical civil transportation that a city must manage and maintain. Ruth, do you believe that that's what I share when I go and meet a mayor? I ask Mr. Mayor, it's not about having just fancy streetlights that do things for you. You got to make sure that you're supplying clean water. You got to make sure your water supply is safe and always ready. Same thing with power. Power issues are prevalent around the world now, brownouts, blackouts, etc. How do you better manage that? How do you better take precautions or even mitigate some of these trends? That's with AI. You have to have a system first put in. Iveta's coming in and putting in what we call smart power solutions. Smart power is, if you can picture in any building, any home, remember, all these are infrastructure within a city. There, we have our power panels. When our Christmas lights are wet, it blows a circuit. We walk outside and we flip that circuit breaker. What Iveta has now is our smart power solution is all IP-based multimeters, which also includes IP-based power plugs and circuit breakers. Why IP base? We're talking about data. If you're going to replace anything that is analog or mechanical, you got to put in something that is manageable over the internet so that that data can be, again, modeled or measured.
Mm-hmm.
Given AI, the actionable item is now automated. That's the beauty of it. It senses that, Christmas lights are wet. It just will pop this circuit. Fine, pop that circuit first, but leave the freezer and the washing machine and the blow dryer in the home functional. Don't cut the entire circuit. That's taking steps of becoming smart. You got to start one, you got to crawl, walk, and run is my strategy for smart cities. So yes, I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic that one day we will actually be able to walk into a true smart city as our society adopts technology like what I just shared with you,
mm-hmm.
One step at a time. So it's going to be good. It's going to be very productive, but I don't think people really know what a smart city is, to be frank with you, Ruth. In the industry, we talk about it all day long. Our customers are planning for it. They're implementing tidbits of it. But if I went out and say, spoke to my father, my dad would go, so what are you doing today? What's the company doing? And he goes to his doctor, he goes into a Walmart and he goes into the movies, and you know, the city's not very smart to him. But here's his son talking smart cities all day long.
I actually would be really interesting to connect you to a guest I had previously on the show. He's the CEO of a company called Alpha 311 in the UK, and they make very small wind turbines that you can attach via brackets, for example, onto street lamps. And they harvest the wind energy and feed it back into the grid and then power the lamp.
Makes sense to me. Very innovative. And I believe I may have seen something, not street lamps. So I like that. That's very cool. That's a great integration to in addition to smart poles. Because if you can generate and harness power like that, and then there's enough for preservation. Each of these poles represent a node somewhere within a major city. We talk about EV charging stations. If we can harness this power and manage it well, and in cities that are fortunate enough to have no concern of brownouts or blackouts, smart poles also represent charging stations as well, given smart power solutions that can be adopted to a pole. You know, when I shared with you, I come in with multimeter smart power systems first in order to have clean energy going to all the IoT and AI processors. That smart power solution also understands supply and demand. It also can send additional or excess power to reserves. Reserves are the batteries, depending on how large the banks are. Each one of these nodes can also be adopted to become remote EV charging stations.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that could be at play here. We just got to remain innovative, be creative all at the same time.
It'd be really terrific if all my guests from the podcast come together and build one smart city.
We would love that. We just have to find a magic funding source somehow to give us the opportunity to do so. I mean, it's possible. It's possible. And we're piecemealing it right now, to speak frankly.
If you would have to put together a playlist for today's episode or for the topic we have discussed today, what would be on your soundtrack?
I come from the early 90s, you know, in East San Jose, California. So if our listeners are Googling that, or they'll find that my music and genre from back in the day till now is rap music. I would be Eminem. I would play a lot of what Eminem puts out in his music.
Cool.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite?
Yeah. I think the world knows this song. It's Slim Shady.
Great. Terrific. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I will put it in the show notes for listeners who might not know the song.
Yes, there's a lot of meaning behind that. It's the struggle. It's the overcoming of hardships, resistance, and just having the fight attitude. And sometimes you just have to step out of your own body and mind to just observe yourself to make a difference. And that's why it's not just hardcore rap or anything like that. There's a meaning behind all this. I'm glad you asked that. It's pretty cool.
Terrific. And that's actually a really nice summary for the topic we just talked about. Thank you so much, David. This has been brilliant.
Thank you, Ruth, for having me.
This was Avnet Silica's We Talk IoT. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a rating. Talk to you soon.